So, Chris,
the producer,
did you see Will's apology to Chris?
He apologized?
He apologized. He released a video. He asked, he answered like three or four questions that he asked himself. I'm serious. They don't show who asked the question. They just put like a question on the screen. He reads it as if it's his first time reading the question and then answers the question. And it says, yeah, no, I was wrong. I shouldn't have done it. I'm sorry. Would you accept that apology? That seems like so condescending.
Well, you know, this apology was like, okay, Bel Air is about to come out. I really want to be successful. So,
not just Bel Air, he also was almost lost his Oscar that he had just won. They almost took it back. They told him he couldn't come back for the next 10 years, I think. So all of this, Chris is going on a tour, just killing him every tour, every show, talking about Will. So Will comes and says, yeah, I tried to talk to Chris, but he won't talk back. Trying to make it seem like Chris is now bullying him in some way.
Of course, that's what comedians do, ain't it?
Like, yeah,
they should just let that be. They won't do that, but boost both of their careers. Like,
yeah. Well, it kind of, I think it's kind of not ending, but it's hurting Will's, I think.
Only because of the way Hollywood's treating him and Jada.
Yeah. And he also, one of the questions was, did Jada tell you to do something when she rolled her eyes? Because you know that's what people were saying.
Yeah.
Jada's kind of controlling the situation here, but through Will. He was like, no, Jada didn't tell me to do anything. Looks over to the corner of the screen.
But did he ask a question? Did you have anything to do with Tupac's death?
Did you or did you not? No, he didn't answer that question. That one's still up for debate.
It was like, keep my wife's lover's name.
So no August. It's funny. He released it right before August. And that's the guy who is with Jada, August Alsina. Oh. Well, ladies and gentlemen, this is The Producer with your co-host Chris. Welcome to Leave Your Powers at the Door. Cue the band.
One, two, three, four. Ladies and gentlemen, everything in between. Once again, I'm your host, Roscoe. Welcome back to Leave Your Powers at the Door with my co-host Chris. And Chris. And Chris.
My power for the day.
What's your power for the day?
You have the big news, fool.
Be back there. You, Roscoe. Hi, Chris.
All right, welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, everybody in between. This is The Producer with your co-host, The Chris. Are you still The Chris?
Yeah, matter of fact, it's The Mr. The Chris to you.
Oh, The Mr. The Chris.
I had to catch up on the syllables. I was listening to our episode the other day. I'm catching up on the syllables.
So, The Mr. The Chris, what's your power for the day?
My power for the day, I'm going to go with Starlight.
Starlight? Why Starlight?
Yeah, Starlight. So on this new job, I'm getting heavier into all the things I do. Mm-hmm. And last week I got to put together a lot of signs. So like the big glowing sign you see outside the bank where it looks like lights are coming out the letters and all that.
Oh, yeah. Uh-huh.
That's the kind of stuff I put together. And I actually got to do the electrical work on some of the stuff this past week.
Oh, cool.
Which was scary at first because I know absolutely zero about electricity when it comes to those kind of things. But I got a good grasp on it. It wasn't as complicated as I thought it was going to be. About 2 days, I was like doing it without asking any questions. And then I'll plug it in and light it up and everything's working perfectly. So, yeah, Starlight. Bringing light to the world.
Starlight. Cool.
Yeah. You got a power for the day for us, The Producer?
I do. Today, I am Zordon.
Zordon?
Zordon. I'm Zordon because Zordon does a good job at telling the Power Rangers what to do. But this Saturday, I was watching TV. I didn't want to get out of bed. And I had turned on the TV. And Power Ranger movie came on. And it was with Mr. Ooze, I think that was his name. Or Dr. Ooze was the bad guy.
Dr. Ooze.
And he walks into the headquarters where Zordon is, where the big face just sits. And he just went over there casually, just unplugged him. most casual takeover. No. He just went over and unplugged them.
So did you catch in the movie Zordon was one of the original Power Rangers and his whole crew died. He was the Red Ranger and his crew died. And then he gave the new Rangers powers. That's why he's so hard on the Red Ranger to lead them properly.
Oh, okay. Because I never knew that.
His crew died because of his leadership.
I never knew that.
What was her name? Rita or something? The witch?
Yeah.
She killed his crew. She killed Zordon's crew.
No, I like it a little more. No, I like her a little more. So anyway, he goes in, unplugs him. Zordon instantly becomes Darth Vader after Luke took his mask off. The actual physical look of Darth Vader. The Power Rangers come in there. Alpha's running berserk. I think he like high-wired him or something.
He's always like that.
So he was going crazy over there. Like they couldn't calm him down. They go over to Zordon, and Zordon looks like Darth Vader laying on the ground after they take his mask off, dying. And I thought to myself,
was he laying in a pool of lava too?
He was laying in like a pool of almost like goo, because Dr. Ooze or whoever the guy was, the evil ooze that came and took him over. So anyway, he was laying down, and I thought to myself, you do a good job of telling people what to do, but when it comes to actually doing it, you're not the best. You're just not really you're not the guy. So yeah, I feel like that when it comes to actually podcasting. I can tell y'all what to do, but me when I sit in front of a mic, I do better behind the scenes.
Got it. So moving along, we got a lot of news today. Comic-Con just happened and a lot of things got released. We've been watching some of the trailers earlier on today. Like, we got Black Adam. They did show some footage of Ant-Man Quantumania, which I got to hear a descriptive of it. But, of course, that was one of the hidden Comic-Con panel things that they haven't released yet.
Do you think that Kang is going to be in
Ant-Man? He is in there. Oh. And what they showed in the Comic-Con trailer is Kang talking to Ant-Man. And you know how Ant-Man is. He's like, oh, I'm an Avenger. And Kang goes, you're an Avenger, huh? Have I killed you yet? Because, you know, time is different for him.
Right, yeah.
And he was like, you've lost a lot of time. Like, you know, Ant-Man was in the quantum realm. So he's aware of the Avengers.
Uh-huh.
And, like, he definitely has already killed some Avengers at this point.
Do you think he has Iron Man's head already?
Probably. He's going to, like, I think they're going to pay off that scene that they had promised in Endgame.
Mm-hmm.
Where they said Thanos came from the past with the past Avengers dead and Cap's head in his hand.
Uh-huh.
I think we're going to see Kang do something similar to that, where he has some variants of the Avengers and he shows up with their dead bodies or their head or their weapons, something like that, to prove that he killed them. And now the Avengers have to face off against him. And it's probably going to be someone like Iron Man, who he's gone, you know, as far as storytelling is going. Yeah. But we knew he was one of the most powerful.
Yeah.
And so Kang shows up with a version of Iron Man dead. You're like, oh, yeah, it's on.
But that makes sense, because in What If, which are different universes, Iron Man always died. So it's only right that Kang would have a dead Iron Man, because Iron Man always dies in every scenario.
Yeah, yeah. Now, in the comic books, the reason why Kang was such a problem was because he is a master of time.
Mm-hmm.
So he would fight against you, and you come with all your most powerful heroes. Maybe he loses, but he survives. He goes back in time and changes their path, so they become a villain. They're on his team the next time he fights you.
Ah.
So he had an evil Iron Man fighting with him in the comic books.
Wow. So the question becomes, is this Kang the Conqueror or a different version of Kang?
That is the question, because there are countless, as many timelines as there are, there's a Kang for every timeline. And so you got Ant-Man Quantumania. The Young Avengers were his ultimate Avenger team that he went up against. So he's going to face off against them. And then you have Kang Dynasty coming as well.
Yeah.
So,
and we don't know which Kang that's going to be.
Exactly. I think what they're going to do is they're going to have a bunch of different fights against variants of Kang to whittle it down. Because we know right now there's a countless number. They're going to whittle it down. And then the last couple of Kangs might make the Council of Kangs.
Mm-hmm.
And then they're going to be like these unbeatable versions of him.
So what if it's kind of like what's the TV show, you, what's the Disney Plus show that you liked?
Loki?
Not Loki. Moon Knight.
Yeah.
What if it's similar to Moon Knight, and where it's different, he had different personalities in him. What if each episode is a different Kang that we're watching.
Yeah.
And we don't know it until the end.
When well, see, that's why fight. It's Kang Dynasty, so it's clearly going to be more than one Kang.
Yeah, yeah.
So they're going to tell a few different stories. Because his dynasty involves a group of Kangs, or the Council of Kangs. When they come together, they all agree on who rules what time frame kind of thing, and then they work together to maintain their rule.
Got it.
So, yeah, we're definitely going to see a lot of different times, a lot of different heroes. Might even just see some random X-Men, which everybody's waiting for.
Yeah.
It's a lot of opportunity. I can't wait.
I got a quick draw for you, but we'll wait.
Uh-oh.
I kind of want to know if this person can
jumping the gun there a little bit.
This person can beat Kang. I kind of want to ask right now, but we'll wait. We'll wait. We'll wait. All right. What else we have?
Oh, yeah. So moving on, like I said, after Ant-Man, yeah, Kang Dynasty. They showed a few reveals on Secret Wars, but they've been showing those things a long time where you got like the Nick Fury face, this half scroll kind of thing. So the Secret Invasion is coming. Secret War, they didn't really show much about, but if you know the comics, that's when Battle World was introduced, and it's like how they talked about in Doctor Strange with the incursions. Battle World is basically the ultimate incursion. It's like parts of all the different realities meshed up into one world, and then whomever they choose to be this ruler of the Battle World will pit the heroes against each other. So you have the heroes fighting each other in Battle World, the ultimate Civil War movie, which I still maintain is the best Marvel movie they've done so far. So
wow, over Endgame.
Yeah.
And Infinity War.
Endgame and Infinity War were a great watch, but Civil War, like, you had to think about it.
People cried in Infinity War.
People cried in Civil War. You had Bucky out wild, causing mayhem. You had Iron Man and Captain America fighting. The Avengers broke up.
We lost, like, Spider-Man.
We got introduced to Spider-Man. We got introduced to Black Panther and Wakanda.
Yeah, yeah.
We found out that they can save Bucky, and he became a hero. That was his turning point to becoming a hero.
That's true.
Like, a lot happened. The Sokovia Accords happened, which is going to affect the future forever now.
Yeah, that's true.
So a lot had Wakanda was revealed as well to the world.
So it's the Sokovia Accords. What was it called?
Sokovia Accords.
Sokovia Accords.
Yep.
Cool. What else we got?
Moving on, we got Black Panther. Speaking of which,
Wakanda Forever.
Wakanda Forever, and I will watch their movies forever. I don't know. Like, every time they come out in a movie, they surprise me. Like, cause the first Black Panther, he was like, oh yeah, this is dope. I'm feeling it. Like, it grabs you emotionally.
Yeah.
And it was captivating, great action sequences, deep meaning. Oh, and so they said, and then rest in peace, Chadwick Boseman. He passed. I was like, how are they going to do Black Panther 2? And then you see this trailer, and it grabs you the same way that first movie did. Like,
it grabs you. But what's going to grab you more is the guy behind the Black Panther mask.
Oh, yeah?
So what are you going to do?
So you think it's a guy?
I think it's a guy. Based on the trailer, it looked like a guy. So what are you going to do when the camera pans up and it's Tyrese?
I'm going to get up and walk out of the theater. Oh, man.
I think it could be Tyrese. I think he's a good candidate to be Black Panther. He's been in some big action movies. He was in Transformers.
But, like, he's always that, like, he's more like a Drax character. He's that comic relief. Even though he could be a strong character, he still is like that comic goofy relief. So, like,
yeah, yeah. He has like those one liners that he says, like when something's going crazy.
Yeah, you can't be the Black Panther and not be serious.
Yeah, yeah, I agree.
You can't be joking and funny and lighthearted.
Yeah.
You're protecting a whole nation. One of the strongest on earth, because as we saw in the trailer, they're not the only one.
Yeah, we saw that.
That's what I'm excited about. Oh, my goodness.
Who's the big bad in this movie? Do we know?
Yeah.
Who is it?
Namor.
Ah.
And Atlantis.
Ah.
So it's Atlantis versus Wakanda. Two mythological kingdoms.
Yeah.
Battling. And when they show it, so in the trailer, it looks like they show Namor's birth, where I think he had an Atlantean mother and a human father, I think is right. And so that's what gives him a unique edge.
Yeah,
they always do that. And like, man, they're basing it off of, I think, ancient Mayan and Incan myth. So that's tying in when you saw in Thor, God and Thunder, they went to the city of the gods.
Uh-huh.
And one of the gods that Thor mentioned is that same god that would be Namor's avatar, like Moon Knight and but like, either way to say, like, so Black Panther has Bass,
mm-hmm.
and you know, he's basically a champion for that god, and so then the Incan god would take on Namor as his champion. So I think in the movie you're gonna see a certain level of Namor, and then you're gonna see him get powered up.
Okay.
Because they definitely showed a scene where it looks like he floods Wakanda.
Ah.
And just to put things in scale, if you looked at the map when they showed Wakanda the first time in Marvel Universe,
right?
It is not a coastal country. It's not a coastline.
I felt like it was.
It's a few miles away from the coast.
Ah.
In the mountain range.
Ah.
So him flooding that shows his level of power.
Yeah. Does that mean that a lot of areas over there got flooded? Like,
are they just took over the whole like North African continent? What continent? But on real estate, they show a little cut of M'Baku look mm-hmm. like he's going at Namor. Really want to see that.
Do you think Killmonger's going to be in this?
Now, you know how I do. I get deep into the research.
Sources. Yeah, yeah,
yeah. Yeah, I have my sources. Uh-huh. So we'll just say that. My sources say.
Chris knows a writer.
Personal friends. <though. laughs> I call him Satchmo. Personally. But so he was saying that. So first of all, T'Challa, the movie starts off with a funeral for T'Challa.
Mm-hmm. That's when people will cry.
They give a very vague description, but he died of illness.
Okay.
And they have a nice funeral for him. Then I think around that time is when Namor attacks the first time.
During the funeral?
No, after the funeral.
I was going to say, wait.
They're going to give him the peace at the funeral. And so when he attacks, I think they kind of drive him off, but it's still a very hard battle. And then Wakanda seeks to go and attack them.
Mm-hmm.
One of the ways that they go to attack him is Shuri, which was Black Panther's little sister.
Yeah.
She creates an artificial heart-shaped herb because, you know, Killmonger burned all of it.
Yeah.
When he was in charge. Right. So she makes an artificial one, and she goes to the ancestral plane to become the new Black Panther, thinking she's going to see T'Challa, but that's where she meets Killmonger.
Ah.
And he guides her. And a lot of people are saying the evidence in that is if you saw the suit, Black Panther said that gold was too flashy for him, if you remember in the movie. That's mm-hmm. why he does the black and silver.
Right, yeah, yeah.
But the suit said black and gold, like Killmonger.
Ah.
And so they're saying Shuri becomes the next Black Panther, and her guide is Killmonger in the ancestral plane.
Mm.
Now, while she's gone, M'Baku becomes the king of Wakanda. And so he's the king, the ruler, and she's the Black Panther. And then Namor attacks again after his upgrade. But the battle was really over something completely different, similar to Civil War. The battle was because, as we all know,
mm-hmm.
the humans, the regular humans, are mm-hmm. trying to get their hands on vibranium.
Yeah.
And they find out that there are deposits of vibranium in the ocean. And so they're drilling the ocean for it.
Ah.
And that's what disturbs Namor. And the person who actually gets this vibranium is Ironheart, Riri Williams.
Yeah.
So Namor's really after her. She runs to Wakanda for help. They're protecting her, and that's what he keeps attacking for. He wants to get that vibranium, his vibranium back.
Right. So because they stole vibranium from him, this movie exists.
Pretty much. Because one person stole it from him, and then Wakanda chose to protect them. Now so this movie exists.
Why would Wakanda protect them? Now I'm starting to feel like I'm on the bad guy side.
Aren't you really always? Aren't you always?
I kinda am. But yeah, that's me.
Either way, it looks like there's some type of personal relationship between Shuri and Riri Williams.
Mm.
And that's probably what leads to them protecting her.
Okay.
I'm more excited to see her suited up, Riri Williams, the new Iron Man, Ironheart, as you will.
Yeah.
And see what she has to offer.
Okay. And you also think Black Panther's a girl?
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, look at the way that things are turning. Like, you know, Endgame, you saw it. They celebrated the female heroes that they had.
Yeah. Because you got I'm looking like the last few shows, America.
Wanda was the big bad.
The other show, the Disney Plus show?
Oh, Miss Marvel.
Miss Marvel.
Even Moon Knight, his girlfriend in the cartoon, or comic books rather, mm-hmm. she never actually really had powers. That was a whole new character created when she became the Avatar at the end of that series. So they're definitely building up some new powerful women heroes to join the MCU. I guess to level it out, which makes sense. You know, because you had a bunch of male figures.
Yeah, that's
true. Level it out, make it fair.
Yeah.
And so far, they've been doing excellent with it. And I'm excited to see some more.
Yeah, and I've always liked Black Panther's sister.
Yeah, she was really cool. Yeah. Especially when she did that trick on him with the new suit and knocked him across the room.
Yeah.
Was she streaming that live too when she did it? Is it for research purposes?
Possibly. What else we got? I feel like there's a lot coming our way.
Oh, yeah, definitely. If you were looking at those other trailers, we got Dungeons and Dragons coming our way. And I know the Roscoes want to do a deep dive on that. So,
oh, yeah, that's right down his lane.
Like, I think he wrote that movie.
He may have. We'll find out next episode.
That's why he's not here today. He's working on the... he's doing reshoots.
He went to the release show.
But yeah, I'm more excited about She-Hulk series.
Ah, why's that? You mean Fiona?
Princess Fiona is coming to the MCU. No, but for real, I swear to God, if she sings and makes a bird explode.
Yeah, no, I can see it. I see it coming.
But in the latest trailer, there's a part where the Hulk, Bruce Banner's like, I understand if you want to go back to your regular lawyer life, if this is too much for you. And she turns to the screen and she goes, he doesn't mean that. And then she like double takes and the Hulk looks like, what is she looking at? And like, if you don't know, she's famous for fourth wall breaks. She's almost like a Deadpool family friendly version character. Mm.
So she breaks the third wall.
Yeah. Yeah. Huh.
Fourth wall. What are the walls?
What are the walls? Oh, so like when they talk about a fourth wall, it's referring to stage performance. So the wall is the left and right and back of the character. Mm-hmm. The fourth wall is the audience.
Ah.
But in the play, that's just the atmosphere. So right, they should never look and directly talk to the audience.
Right.
So when they do like turn and directly talk to the audience, it's considered breaking that fourth wall.
Ah.
Because it's supposed to be a wall there where they don't see the audience. Yeah. They see their world.
Ah. So Ultron broke the fourth wall when he broke into the Watcher, because the Watcher was his audience in a way.
I guess if you take it from the perspective of the Watcher, yeah. But on that same note, the Watcher, when he turns to you and say, these are my stories, when he's talking to you, he's breaking the fourth wall.
In that way. I feel like there must be a fifth wall.
Well, speaking of fourth walls, I just watched Deadpool 1 the other day.
Uh-huh.
And he does a wall break. So he talks to the audience, and in that wall break, he does a flashback, and in that flashback, he does a wall break. And so he's like, that's 16 walls. And like for him to recognize it as well is so cool. But and like in the spirit of it all, just to show you how excited I am about She-Hulk, our post today showed how she breaks the wall in the comic books. And it was her fighting against Rip Cap, something like that. And the guy goes, you can't defeat me, blah blah, you know, the whole villain monologue. And she goes, never forget, this is my comic book. And you look at it, she takes the page that he is on, she rips it out of the comic book, balls it up, puts it in a trash can, and then lights the trash can on fire. It's like the ultimate fatality. Like, she just killed your whole world.
She killed your whole existence. You no longer exist.
But yeah,
holy crap.
And like one of the first ones I saw her in, she was like there was something happening in the comic book because she needed to get somewhere fast. And the distance, it was like another city. So like it would have taken her days. But instead, she ran across the bottom of the comic book and then jumped back in the panel on the page when it would be at the city and got there like in an instant. Like she does a lot of stuff like that. I don't know how they're going to pull that kind of things off in the show. Definitely since they're already showing the trailer, she turned around and talked to the audience. It's a sign that they're going to they're gonna break
play
some
around
walls.
With this episode a little bit.
And is I hope they do it the whole series. I wanna,
yeah. When's that supposed to air? Do you know?
I think it just said coming soon.
Coming soon. Yeah. Okay.
So like, all right. So we had another panel here where she's with a guy. And he's like, what are we going to do? What are you going to do? She's like, hold on. We've been playing by their rules the whole time. Let's see what happens if we start playing by mine. And you see her, she like rips the page apart and you can see the comic book dialogue behind the page.
Yeah.
Like she plays by her own rules.
So does she become the writer at that point? Because it looks like that's what she's about to do.
Yeah.
She's
I mean, like
write the script on this.
Pretty much like, oh, you thought I lost? No. Let me change that.
It's almost like Wanda a little bit. She kind of rewrites her own existence.
Yeah.
A little bit.
Yeah.
Hmm. Cool.
So definitely some reality breaking on the way.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure.
All right. And then moving along, we got some DC news. Finally,
DC. DC, finally.
And these next two movies is almost like they should be almost connected. So I want to see that timeline run into each other.
What are they?
We got Shazam 2.
Shazam.
Fury of the Gods. Mm-hmm. And Black Adam.
Ah, yeah. They should kind of run together.
Because if you know the story, Black Adam was kind of the original Shazam character. Well, yeah. Shazam's the wizard, but he was the original champion. And then he kind of just stayed in super mode and never like said Shazam and went back normal.
Ah.
So he used that to kind of be a god per se. Uh-huh. And then, of course, Shazam is a little kid. He turns into a grown man somehow when he gets struck by lightning.
Yeah.
And they clash hard in the comic books. They even made an animated movie where Shazam versus Black Adam. And basically the story was like Superman kind of training Shazam on how to actually be a hero. I thought it was really cool because none of the Justice League knew that he was actually a kid. Like, because they only see him in a Shazam form. They never see the kid. So they just think he's like a grown hero.
Yeah.
Because Superman is training him because when Black Adam shows up, he has magic. And kryptonite and magic are like Superman's only two weaknesses.
Yeah.
And
apparently
Lois Lane. But either way.
That's true. And Lois.
Yeah, because when Lois dies in the darker timelines. Yeah. But so what happens is Black Adam, really, he can beat the crap out of Superman just because of the vulnerability to magic.
Mm-hmm.
But Superman can hit with him, and Superman knows how to fight in the sky and all those things. And Shazam is more of an even match for Black Adam because they had the same kind of power.
Mm-hmm.
But he just doesn't have that experience that Superman has. So they kind of tag team it to take Black Adam down. So, like, I look forward to seeing that come out in the movies when they eventually face off against them. And somebody's going to get rock bottom through a building, probably.
More than likely. And the people's elbow and the eyebrow. All these things are happening. They're happening.
The eyebrow is going to happen.
Speaking of fighting this guy, and this is just a quick random question. Have you seen the movie Nope?
Nope, I have not.
All right, we'll dissect that at a later date.
Yeah, definitely. That's on my list.
Yeah,
it's on the list.
No spoilers yet. It just came out a few weeks ago, maybe 2 weeks ago. So no spoilers yet. We'll dissect it soon, though.
Yeah, moving down our list because Comic-Con really went in.
Mm-hmm.
I Am Groot. Groot's getting his own miniseries on Disney Plus. Looks like it's gonna be just a little fun adventure. What do you think you're gonna see in that?
I Am Groot.
He said it all, guys. He said it all. It's good. Why are you letting out these spoilers? He just told you the whole series right there.
I am Groot. Yeah. It happens.
All right.
Trust me.
Translate it.
You heard it here first. I don't know. Honestly, I don't know what to expect because he only says I am Groot and in that order. Yeah. At all times.
No.
He can't say Groot.
Because apparently, right before he died in the first Guardians movie, he said, we are Groot.
Really?
You didn't catch that?
Oh, I missed it.
It was a really touching moment because, like, it's the first time, like, because it said, you know, if I am Groot, and he's always I. He says we, that means they're just as important as him in their eyes. It was like a love statement.
Or was it like a failsafe? So it's like, if you ever say anything other than I am Groot, you die.
No, no, no. He was going to die anyways. Rocket made that clear. He's like, why are you doing this? You're going to die. But he knew that it would help them survive the black asteroid in their name?
Yeah, yeah.
When it crashed. So. Yeah, that's how they survived the crash. Groot kind of sacrificed himself.
Ah, yeah. Okay.
And then grew back. And but speaking of people surviving things that they shouldn't, John Wick, Chapter 4.
He survives.
Like, did you see what they just showed in the trailer? Like, it was literally him with a sword and a gun, mm-hmm. another guy with a sword and a gun, and they're shooting at each other and blocking the bullets with the swords. Like,
what is this? Neo all over again?
Well, was it Lauren Fishburne is in it?
Oh. I wonder if...
It's like what the Matrix reboot should have been. John Wick.
It's Chapter 4, right?
Yeah,
John Wick Chapter 4. Yeah, that's gonna be an interesting one. Do we have a release date for that?
The release date for it is March 24th, 2023.
Ah, cool! Yeah. Right by your birthday.
Yeah, good birthday present.
Yeah, yeah.
Talk about a Matrix, right?
I'm over here putting it on the TV screen. That's why.
Okay.
But I was trying to fast forward to the end so I could see the end date, the release date.
And this is the one I know you're waiting for. Prey.
Oh, you know me.
P-R-E-Y. All
right. So let's look at... Okay. I saw the trailer for Prey. Have you seen it?
Yes. Yes.
Okay. So he goes... This is the original hunt.
Yeah, this is the first time the Predator's hunted on Earth.
Yep. On Earth. But the Predator is from a whole different planet, from a whole different galaxy.
Yep.
So that means he somehow has technology to get from way over there to way over here, right? To
and simplify. I mean, from what you show in the trailer, let's just be real. He has the technology that he has when he fought Arnold.
It looks like it. It looks like it. Okay, so now we know that he has the technology. Is there any way that he loses to a human with a bow and arrow or an axe made out of stone?
Well, here's the thing. Should he have lost to Arnold? Arnold didn't even have any guns left by the time they had that final fight.
But it's Arnold. Are you going to fight him? Really? I don't care how many weapons you have. Okay. He gets a punch off, all bets out the window at that point.
So what about Danny Glover?
That's Danny Glover.
Danny Glover was hanging from a building. The Predator's about to spear him. He took the Predator's weapon, cut the Predator's arm off. Fell with style.
Falling with style.
Then, not only that, got so pissed off, he went looking for the Predator. And killed him in his own ship.
He may be the only one to go looking for the Predator.
He killed him in his own ship. Mm. And then when the other Predator showed up, he drops the weapon that he has.
Yeah.
And says, all right, who's next?
I mean, all right. You're in their ship. There are multiple of them. You almost died killing one of them. They've surrounded you. You're in their ship. You drop the weapon. Yeah, it's over. I'm just punching one of y'all in the face.
One of y'all going to catch it.
Somebody's going to remember this fight. The rest of y'all are going to be fine. But somebody else is going to say, but remember when?
Yeah. Well, I mean, like, moving on. So, Alien versus Predator.
Yeah.
I forget the girl's name. But the chick that the Predator kind of teamed up with.
From Love and Basketball?
Yeah, Love and Basketball.
Yeah.
She really didn't have any weapons. Like, he made her a spear out of the alien's tail.
Yeah, he never saw her as a threat, right? He was killing everybody around her and never saw her as a threat.
Mm-hmm. Until. See, and that's what I'm thinking. Like, they're going to come to Earth and say, oh, bow and arrow. Ha, ha, ha.
Yeah, no threats.
And they'll see you as a threat. And then it's the kind of man, like, they're going to start setting traps and getting some of their hands on some of the tech. Mm. And, like, I think that's what makes humans that ultimate hunt. Ingenuity.
Yeah.
Like, you can't show us something, but as you show us, we're going to make our own version of it.
And
attack you with it. So,
and we're going to fuck you up. All right. So, got a question for you.
Yeah.
When it comes to the Predator, the ultimate hunter, fighting humans, if he dies, does that take him out of the ultimate hunter's list?
I think what the movie's gonna show is they're gonna think that maybe Earth is like a mid-tier hunt, you know, because clearly they don't start off with the hardest hunt. You mean they like they probably hunt their whole life. So you got like a kid, okay, this go hunt a deer, go hunt a rabbit.
Yeah.
Then
yeah.
you get a teenager, all right, now go take down a lion. You get a little, all right, now take this down. And so I think they're gonna see Earth as a mid-tier, send a few out, and when they die and these predators keep coming to Earth and dying, then they're gonna realize it's a higher tier. And that's why they start coming looking for people like Arnold and Danny Glover.
Yeah. Yeah.
Later okay. on, they start to realize, okay, humans are a threat, even though they don't look threatening. There's something about them that, because like a human just standing in his clothes, just standing, no weapons, and the predator's no weapons. Like, you're no threat. They outmatch us in strength yeah. by a long shot.
And I'm thinking back in the time frame that he comes, they're probably picking berries, catching fish. They aren't really. It's not like it is today. You don't. You
yeah,
see
it's,
nuclear
what
weapons.
10,000 BC.
Yeah. Uh huh. Yeah, I can see that. It's probably something similar to that. They're walking around with berries and spears. He comes thinking it's gonna be sweet.
Yeah. Okay.
So, last question on the predator: where do you rank him in hunters? Is he the ultimate hunter to you? Because I have a better hunter than the predator.
I have a better hunter than the predator. And okay. I think the Roscoe would agree with my hunter.
Okay. He wouldn't agree with mine. Go ahead.
Because his name is Craven the Hunter.
Oh, Craven the Hunter.
I think that's what I want to see. Craven the Hunter versus a predator. Like, who comes out on top?
I got a better hunter.
Okay.
Michael Myers. Think about it. He's biggest Jason. But he's stealthy. You never know he's there until it's too late.
And he plans ahead.
I
think we talked about that in a Halloween episode.
He plans. Yeah, we
did.
Like,
he will go and kill your whole neighborhood and save you for last.
So the question is, were you really the target or was somebody else the target?
You don't know. He shows up to kill you. You might just have been an extra.
You may be the neighbor this whole time.
Oh man.
What else we got? I feel like there's more coming our way.
So on that level of the horror movies, mm-hmm. apparently there's some more Chucky coming out.
Oh.
They listed it as Chucky season 2. I didn't get a good look at the trailer. Mm-hmm. It kind of looks like they did a little bit of a mashup. So if you remember, was it The Bride of Chucky? You had a chick that basically killed herself to put her no, Chucky killed her, didn't he?
He killed her and then possessed
and put
the
her in
doll
a doll.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But it looks like she has her human body somehow again.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, movie magic.
Okay. Is this before that or?
It could be. It could be before it because, you know, she worshipped him almost.
Yeah, because they dated before he became Chucky, right?
Yeah, when they were both humans.
Yeah.
They dated. Yeah.
Okay.
But this one has the doll Chucky and
her.
And looks like just classic Chucky, a lot of religious mockery, a lot of gruesome death.
Mm-hmm.
I think my favorite part, I did see the trailer, so it's like a nun and Chucky pops up and she falls over in fear and she's like over there, like looks like she's having a heart attack or something like that. He's like, oh, it's just looking at me so horrifying that you're having a heart attack. Thank you, God. Thank you. Like, he's flattered that she's scared to death, literally.
Who toys with their kills more, Chucky or Freddy Krueger?
Oh, I knew you was going
They both will toy with the kill before they kill it.
Yeah. What did Freddy say? Oh, got your nose.
Yeah. They both play around. They can easily just kill him. Just
well,
no
see,
problem.
I mean, I would say Chucky. Just because
he
Chucky
plays like he's a regular
not
doll,
have to play with you.
Yeah,
he doesn't have to. Freddy does. Freddy plays with his kills because he grows stronger the more you fear him.
Mm-hmm.
So he tugs on you, get you fearing him to feed him.
Yeah.
So he's doing it for sustenance. Chucky doesn't have to do that. He could really just kill you and keep moving, but he gets enjoyment out of it.
Yeah, because he first pretends to be a regular doll. And talks to your kid until your kid tells you about him, You don't believe him. And then something happens.
Let my kids, one of my kids, tell me their doll is talking. That doll is going in the incinerator.
Hasn't. It was one parent who tried that, right? Or was this, I'm thinking about Pinocchio. They bury him underground.
Yeah, they buried Pinocchio.
Okay. And he still comes back.
Pinocchio's Revenge?
Yeah, I've seen that. We saw it together. What are you talking about?
I'm sorry. I forget. I feel like I'm the only one on the planet to see that movie because every time I mention it, it's like, what?
Yeah. We were kids and we saw Pinocchio's Revenge.
Yeah, we had a troubled childhood.
We saw Freddy Krueger. Chucky was the least of my worries. Freddy was my fear.
Freddy was your fear?
I was afraid of Freddy.
Freddy was only fearful if you thought about him.
If you were afraid of him, which made me even more afraid of him.
Did you know that VHS tape that Eddie and Gerald had, it had Freddy Krueger, and then after Freddy went off, it had Speed with Keanu Reeves and Sandra Bullock.
Okay.
And I would sneak and sit at the foot of their bed after you went to sleep. I'd go in their room, sit at the foot of bed, and watch Freddy. And if I fell asleep before Speed came on, I would have a nightmare. So I had to stay up and watch Speed so that I could forget about Freddy.
Because you didn't have to watch either.
Yeah, no, but you know how kids are.
Watch Lion King or something.
Lion King the remix.
What else we got? I feel like it's so much.
Yeah, it's a lot going on. So out of these two, I want to ask. We got Lord of the Rings, The Ring of Power.
Yeah.
And House of Dragon. What are you more excited to see?
Me, House of Dragon. And I say that because I was a huge fan of the first saga. So now, with it being a brand new saga, it's the prequel, right?
Yep, it's the prequel.
The prequel. I'm excited to see the story, not only of the Mad King, but how he became the Mad King outside of Bran telling him to burn them all. And what that means for his entire family line. Because when Daenerys and her brother escaped, they were the last Targaryens, the very last two. But before that, the kingdom was run by Targaryens. We may see another Red Wedding.
You think it's going to be that easy?
I don't know if it's going to be as easy as the Red Wedding, but it's going to be as gruesome. I think there's going to be a genocide in this one.
It has to, like, think about it. Like, so going back then, like, they had, how many dragons would they have back then?
A numerous account, right? And they were huge.
This was before dragons were rare. And you got grown ass dragons.
And they were bigger than the ones, they should be bigger than the ones Daenerys had because
hers were babies.
They were babies and they had shrank based on people chaining them up. Remember?
Oh, yeah. I forgot about
it. So they were larger at first because they were free. The more free they feel, the larger they grow. So these are going to be huge dragons, vicious dragons. They're not just eating someone's livestock like they did in Game of Thrones. What about you? What are you more excited for?
I'm going to go with Lord of the Rings, man. Like, have you not seen? All right, so you got The Hobbit, and then you got the original trilogy, Lord of the Rings. And now we're going to see how the rings of power were forged. It's kind of the same kind of thing, you know, like there you're gonna see how all of that came, like how Smeagol, you might see him again, like how he actually found a ring. That's gonna be towards the end of it probably. And then you're just gonna see like crazy levels, like, because didn't they forge the rings to be, what's his name, Saruman? Is that the right name?
I think so.
Yeah, so like he was a whole being, like, you know, the eye that's watching for them.
Right? Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, he was a whole being. They forged the rings so that the kingdoms, is it the five kingdoms? I know it's the elves, the dwarves, the humans. There's some more. But either way, the rings were forged to unite them so they could beat him.
Mm-hmm.
So you're going to see a full power, like... Yeah, that's going to be vicious.
Speaking of forged in the rings, we get to see the Iron Throne be created. You know the battle that had to have occur for that many swords to create the Iron Throne? That may be the genocide. Yeah. Well, no. The Mad King sat on the Iron Throne. The Iron Throne was there when he was there. Okay. I was thinking that may have been a genocide.
That may have been how he came to power. Like, you might see a story of where they weren't in power. And he came and took that power.
Because it starts like hundreds of years before the first one begins. So there's a huge story they're going to tell.
Yeah.
There's a long story.
Almost like a rise and fall kind of.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow. And probably see a few of them, just like the original series.
Yeah, we probably
will. You saw a lot of kingdoms come up and down in that.
Yeah, we did. Yep. A lot of people you thought would make it to the end, and they died in the next episode.
Nope. Yeah, pretty much. Like.
There was a lot of that in Game of Thrones.
Man, and then like, so we have the final season of The Walking Dead, if anybody's still watching that.
Mm-hmm.
So, you excited about that, or you done with it?
Final season of The Walking Dead. The Walking Dead started out blue hot. It was the hottest show on television. Then it just kind of slowly withered to nothingness to me. After Rick, quote unquote, died and flew off in the helicopter. Spoiler alert if you haven't seen it.
If you haven't seen it, what are you doing with your life?
After that, I kind of lost. Jesus dies. I kind of lost. It kind of lost its steam to me.
Yeah, I think what they did, they tried to take too many left turns. And sometimes you take too many left turns, you just end up where you started.
Yeah, you go in circles.
Because like I guess technically it's a graphic novel. Yeah. But in the graphic novel, Jesus was one of the last survivors.
Mm.
I think the Roscoe mentioned that to me last time. And then, so you want to keep characters like Jesus around. Mm-hmm. Then characters like Carl, who was very popular.
Carl!
Mm-hmm. But yeah, Carl and Rick, very popular. And that's, I think, mostly due to, you know, mishandling of contracts. They should have been better with the contract to keep them to the end of the series. Like your whole story followed Rick and he's gone now.
Yeah.
How you think you're going to keep your fans?
And then, they tried to use his daughter and that didn't really work.
Like, yeah, because she was just insane. Now, Negan almost carried it. Like,
yeah.
Roscoe told me that when he told me to start watching Walking Dead. This was before the podcast started. He was like, now, Negan, you're going to come around to Negan. I'm like, no way. You're going to come around. And I'm coming around. I'm like, yeah. Negan, when he brought the head of the Whisperer, what's it, chick's name?
Yeah.
I was like, all right.
I kind of liked him at first, though. I was a fan of him. He struck fear into their heart.
Yeah, he was the kind of guy that he understood the world they lived in, and he did what needed to be done. That's what I think.
Yeah. Because Outside of Glenn. He didn't need to kill Glenn.
Glenn was like, gosh, you just didn't want that to happen.
No!
And I feel like Glenn Dine was another the contract failure.
What do you mean?
All right, so you remember he got when he was with the idiot, I guess they were at a mall or something, and the guy trapped him. First he trapped him in a revolving door and Glenn got out of that. Then he got trapped under a car with zombies all over him. And
it was under a dumpster.
Oh, right? Under a dumpster.
Under a dumpster, yeah.
But he got out of that. And like when he got trapped around that, that's when I stopped watching it because I thought he was
really
dead. Yeah, well, I stopped watching for a little while because I was basically preparing myself to mourn Glenn's death.
The Roscoe told me this: if you don't see him die, he's not dead.
Mm, yeah, I learned that lesson. Yeah. Sci-fi, it's any sci-fi superhero, if you don't see him die, he's not. Mace Windu is not dead, but Sam Jackson lives on. He's just waiting for a time to kill.
But this is how Hollywood all comes together.
But yeah, like, so it really hurt me because Glenn was my favorite character at that time.
Mine too.
And then like when he survived that, I was like, yeah, he's gonna make it to the end. Nope, Negan.
Then he got Maggie pregnant.
So I was like, this Negan gonna come and ruin the show for me.
Yeah, whistling.
But then, yeah, you start, like, you see it from Negan's perspective. In that type of world, when you meet another group, you have two choices.
Mm-hmm.
You can try for peace, but if they don't want peace, then you already put yourself in a vulnerable position.
Mm-hmm.
Or you can just be the man. You know what I mean? You can take over, show them, I am the power. You do what I say, period.
Yeah.
And that's what he did, and he held it. Like, the governor tried, but he wasn't, like, He didn't follow through like Negan did.
No, not even close.
And that's why he failed.
And he wasn't as big as Negan. Negan had a huge army.
Yeah, like when they went in and thought they killed everybody, yeah. And it was just like a small outpost. Yeah. It wasn't even a camp. It was like just an outpost to get them warnings.
And that was on like a light day. Like it must have been like a a holiday for them because it was like,
they were doing a shift like, a shift change.
It's not even all of us. There are more empty beds over there. It should be more people.
But when he had, see, that's what scared me too, though. When he had the nerve to join the Whisperers, and it looked like he was all in. Mm-hmm. He convinced them. He convinced me. And then he cuts a head off and brings it back to Rick. But then, like, is he doing the same thing to Rick?
Mm. I don't think so, because he really had a had a chance to kill the kid. He had a bond with Carl
and Judy. Judy, and her name?
Yeah, that's her name. Yeah.
Yeah, like he saved her, remember? Because she got lost out in the snow.
Ah, okay.
And remember, he went out there and found her and saved her. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I mean, maybe he's genuine. Maybe so. Maybe he realized, you know, he needs to be a part of a bigger group. And
maybe, because his group is gone.
Are they? They kind of assimilated. All of them didn't die.
Yeah, no, not
a
all
lot
of
them kind of just joined.
Yeah, know? Yeah. So. Is there anything else? I feel like we've just been announcing new things.
Comic-Con just was like, what? Y'all want stuff? Here you go. Here you go. So now this one is maybe not for some of the younger listeners. You had to really be a geek to catch this one, but I was.
Okay.
So if you remember, not the original series, because that was Shatner, but after him, you had... Patrick Stewart as Captain Picard.
Mm-hmm.
So then more recently they came out with a series that's just called Picard.
Okay.
And it's about his crew still after the events of the movies that they had. Mm-hmm. And they're on their final season, which is season 3 now. So they released a trailer for that.
Ah, okay.
And it's showing all your classic characters. What is the guy's name with the ridges on his head?
I forget his name.
Every time I think about it, I think about a Family Guy reference. I want to say Rocky Dennis.
I always think about the guy in Orville.
Worf, Commander Worf.
Okay, okay.
Yeah. And hopefully his number 2, Commander Riker, mm-hmm. I met him in real life.
Yeah, I was going to say you met him.
Yeah. That was cool. Jonathan Frakes.
Yeah.
So.
Don't you have like a signed photograph of him?
Yes, I do. Stop telling people about my valuables. But yeah, I do have a signed black and white photograph, 8x10. Real cool stuff.
So you, Chris knows the writers. All right. What else we got?
And then to round it off, they had some trailers for a reboot of Interview with a Vampire. Mm-hmm. And if you guys watch Teen Wolf, the series, they're launching a movie.
Oh, okay.
And I really didn't follow Teen Wolf. I've seen a few episodes. I know the general premise, which isn't hard to tell from the title. It's a teenage werewolf.
But Interview with a Vampire, I think of a date in Twilight.
I don't think it's more like, I think it's like an interview, like, why be a vampire? Like, sit down. This is CNN. Tonight we have an interview with a vampire. Join us. Find out what type of blood Dracula really likes.
It's Oprah sitting across from Dracula.
Yeah, it's Oprah. Are you O positive? Check under your chair. It's a vampire under the chair.
You get a vampire. And then it looks like we got Teen Wolf.
Yeah, Teen Wolf. What do you think about that?
I know nothing about it.
Have you even seen it?
No. What do you got for me?
I'm not a big fan of it. I mean,
okay.
It was one of those series kind of like a wannabe Supernatural to me.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's other shows like The Immortals that were much better.
Mm-hmm.
Teen Wolf always seemed a little low grade to me, but we'll see. They got a movie now, so they definitely have a follow if they're going to come for a movie after they had a series for so long.
Yeah, and it's always in the movie, you can always toy with the original script a little bit and change it kind of to match today's viewer and what they want to see. So
we'll really want to see, like, if they're gonna do it and you want me to come out and watch it, I would want to see them kind of follow the story from the series and just level everybody up and make a big event out of it.
Yeah. All right. Sounds good.
Yeah.
I feel like we ran through about an hour worth of upcoming shows and movies.
And that was just Comic-Con.
And that was just Comic-Con. Yeah. All right, ladies and gentlemen, this has been Leave Your Powers at the Door. I am your temporary host, the producer.
With your co-host, Chris. And remember, pick up your powers on the way out the door.
Cue the band.
Ladies and gentlemen, everything in between. Once again, I'm your host, the Roscoe. Welcome back to Leave Your Powers at the Door with my co-host Chris. And Chris.
My power for the day.
What's your power for the day?
You have the big news, fool.
Be back there. You Roscoe. Hi, Chris.